Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 74. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 74, introduced by Senator Hastert, an act relating to severance taxes, tax drone evaluation. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, Varnish. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number Senate File 74 do pass, and there are no committee amendments.
Representative Varnish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 74 is in some ways it's similar to the bill that you've already seen with the coal taxation, where they've sent an industry factor. What this bill does is there's another method, a brand new method, that's not covered in the taxation. They're doing solution mining. And they've taken an old mine, and there's a lot of pillars been left there. They have to leave the pillars to hold the roof, and they mine all that stuff out, and then they got that thrown and they can't reclaim it. So what they've done is they're doing solution mining, which is a brand new method, and they need to come up with a reasonable taxation. So this is a brand new method. It does not apply to the dry mining methods. So and it's really, really a straightforward bill. And it says it won't affect the current dry mining status. Dry mining, they get 90% of the usable ore, and it doesn't affect the industry factor. Now, what this means is the Department of Revenue always holds the trump card in this thing. And so if the industry and the Department of Revenue can come to an agreement as to what is a reasonable and fair method of taxation, then they can use that method. If they can't come to agreement, then they have to use the old method. And that alleviates one of the problems that made a change in coal, is that it's more fair and it reduces the litigation and the arbitration and the penalties that a lot of these corporations have when they, cause sometimes they, when they finally get them settled, they're like 10 years old and they end up paying a lot of interest and everything on it. So anyway, the industry is in favor of this, and the Department of Revenue is looking forward to it too. And I would entertain any questions.
Representatives Wanitz or Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the fine sponsor of this bill. It appears as I read through it that this lets the Department of Revenue go ahead and determine an alternative method and go ahead and implement it before they report to the two different committees that we have. And my question is, I know some of this language is taken out of, there's some similar language in the statutes under natural gas where it says that they can use an alternative method in natural gas, but that method is already in statute as the netback method. What I'm worried about is we're taking up the legislative process of if we're going to be able to accept this other alternative method of taxation. So My question is, should we not have the department come to those committees and make a suggestion what they agree to be a new method of taxation, have the committees approve it or disapprove it, and then bring it back to the legislature for approval, that the department can use one method or the other based on the fact that there's new engineering techniques of getting the trona?
Representative Varnish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope I can answer this question. The report back is to let us know how the thing is progressing and to, you know, see how, whether or not it's a fair system. And it gives them the flexibility to impose other valuation methods where the department determines that the industry factor method does not reach the correct taxable value. And I don't agree that we're giving them the legislative authority. What we're doing is we're giving the authority to do something that they already do. It's just a new method with a new industry factor that we're going to allow them to determine. So,
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I can help a little bit with that. The statute under oil and gas and pretty much under uranium, they still have an out. The representatives from Cheyenne talked about the modified netback as the other method they use, but if you look at 3914203, when you have a chance sometime, it lists the modified netback and the proportionate profits method and some other ones, but it still has Romanet 7, it says, when the taxpayer and department jointly agree that the application of one of the methods listed in paragraph 6, which is the one that I'm referring to where the modified netback is and proportionate profits, does not produce a representative fair market value for the crude oil, lease condensate, or gas production, a mutually acceptable alternative method will be used. The other thing, and I can see the good representative from District 9's concern on this, but if you look on the second page of the bill, there will be a report, I think it's the 1st of October, by the 1st of October, coming back to the Revenue Department, and they can give us their feedback on whether they think it's working or whether we need a new statute or whatever. So it's like was already mentioned, they have to use something because of this in situ mining that's occurring, and it's a totally different technology, and the costs that are below the surface of the mine or mouth of the mine and the above the surface of the mine it doesn't have the meaning that it had before standard mining was joined by in situ mining. I hope that helps.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I signed on to this piece of legislation, some of the concerns I had have all been brought out on the floor. However, the key to this whole thing is that the Department of Revenue and, of course, the industry has to get together and arrive upon a solution for this, because it's a new process. It's an innovative approach that one of the largest soda ash producers in the United States has undertaken here. And the other safeguard here is they're reporting back, as you can see, October of each year to a respective legislative committee. So I think we have the necessary precautionary language in here. The steps have been taken going forward. This process is underway over in southwest Wyoming, and it's an economic development thing. I don't know. I think around 85 to 100 and some jobs is what's been brought on by bringing this old soda ash industry into production. So it is certainly something we need to look at and go forward with, and I wholeheartedly support it.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly a great industry and have a lot of respect for the trona industry. I just am having a hard time making a decision without knowing what the revenue consequences are. It seems to be a little bit out of sequence that we should this should be vented through the department first, so that we know as a body whether this is going to be revenue neutral or one way or the other. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not specific to that question, but on and for the bill, again, this is a new technique, and the negotiations between the companies and the department are mutual. You know, if one doesn't agree to what's going on, you fall back to what's already in statute. So the way to tax this is already there. They're trying to prevent litigation in the future. And the negotiation process is what they're going to do here. Is they're going to come up with a fair way to evaluate this and to tax this. And, again, our department, representing the people of Wyoming, are negotiating with the taxpayer. And, you know, if they come up with a solution that both of those groups can agree to, I'm okay with it. If they can't, then we fall back to how we tax it right now.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill. This is a new process. The one mine in southwest Wyoming has been doing it for a while. The largest mine is just starting up on this, and they use this process to inject into the flues of coal-fired generating plants, and it captures the CO2. So on and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The representative from District 22 had a good point. You know, doesn't it seem like we're getting the cart before the horse? And I asked the same question in committee on that. But the overriding principle is in all of our mineral taxation, and it's even constitutionally mandated, is that you must tax according to fair market value. And I guess that would be the guiding principle that our department that is in charge of this kind of activity would be charged with. And it's the same principle they use for all the other minerals, including oil and gas and coal and uranium and everything else. It's just sometimes mathematically, you know, anytime you put a mathematical formula down, you got an algorithm that tells you how to do it, and you come up with a set of real-world parameters that just don't lend themselves to that. Again, I don't think it's a monumental risk. It's just an industry. It's getting started now, and as early as October, we'll have a report back on whether they have hit a snag and need statutory changes to assure us that the fair market value standard is being met. And I guess for that reason, I think I would not be unduly concerned about, you know, risks that we're taking to jeopardizing our flow of mineral revenue.
Representatives Wanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want the body to know that I'm very much in favor of this bill. What I'm having some concern over is the process. So I will take a look at that. If my heartburn is big enough, then I will bring an amendment on second reading. But very much in favor of the bill. I think any time that we have some new technology that comes through that the tax should be looked at for an alternative tax base method, I'm totally in favor of it. Thank you.
Representative Ronish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a real quick, short follow-up, and I probably should have done this in my original talk, but when they do the dry mining, everything comes up as dry, and all the trona is, it's dry, and it's like 85-90% pure trona. They've got some mixture, you know, some silica and some shales and stuff like that that's in there that causes that. But when you're doing the wet process, the best you can hope for is 17% solution, and it's wet, and then you have to precipitate that out and get rid of it. So it's a much more expensive process. So that's why they would like to have a better way to evaluate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, I'm in for the bill, but I must apologize to the body for my lateness. I was representing the people's house before the Senate, or at least Senate revenue, and my committee vice chairs did a good job.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, am probably in favor of this bill, and I'm in favor of any process that streamlines our regulations and makes it easier for industry to move forward and not be hung up in permitting. However, in the last few years, I'm also concerned about the state's revenue. And in the last few years, we've had different point evaluations for natural gas where we lost millions of dollars. That money left Sublette County, that money left Wyoming, and quite frankly, a lot of that money left the United States. We just had one on coal, and it was not revenue neutral, and we're losing money on that as well. So I think the body should be concerned about our revenues. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 74 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate File 74 is passed Committee of the Whole. Quickly, brothers and sisters on the floor, everybody has come up here when it's their turn to tell you something significant in history. And significant piece in history. 1 year ago today, I had the opportunity to meet the 84th Speaker of the House. Today is Gotcha Day. And so a year ago today was the official day that we grew our family through adoption. So that's our big day in state history. And with that, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 15, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the University of Wyoming Advanced Conversion Technologies Task Force Amendments. This file was sent to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Hunt, Kasparek, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson. No, Zwanitzer Dave, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you Senate File 15 and request your support. It's fundamentally a name change for something that we created in this body about 5 years ago, and then there's just a couple other things that I'll talk about as we work the bill. When we started getting AML money and we understood that we were going to try to take a lead in clean coal technologies with the overthrust work in Rock Springs and other places, we decided to call this committee the Clean Coal Task Force. Subsequent to that time, there's more things that we can do with that money as value added for our state, and so this Advanced Conversion Technology Task Force is more representative of where we'd like to go. So if you look on page 1 and starting at really line 1, number 1, it's renaming the Clean Coal Task Force to the Advanced Conversion Technology. And then that's what takes up the space because we're changing a statute that's on the books and you've got to do that in several places. We had a sunset date, which I'm always in favor of, and we were at the time we passed the original statute, and we want to extend that because we have some projects that are under research, and it'll take a little more time to finish, and this will cover that with existing funds. It's not an additional amount of funds. So that's basically what happens on page 1. Page 2 is just name changes, clean coal research to advanced conversion technologies. And then the date change on line 5, page 2, and then on down, name changes on the end of the balance of the page 2. On page 3, again, name changes, and we get down to, I think it's all name changes on page 3, and there is no funding on this, so there's no revenue impacts one way or the other. We do have some projects that have been researched as far as evaluation, and they will be launched when we make this extension of the time to complete the research. I urge your support.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion when the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 15 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed say no. Senate File 15 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 5, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to district boards, county commissioners, removal of appointed board members. This file was sent to Committee No. 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. No, just with pass. I, Blickery, Bird, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubbs, and Sponsor Dan Sign, representing Illaway, Chairman.
You read the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 5 do pass. The good gentleman from House District 44 will discuss the bill.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, colleagues in the 61st. I bring you Senate File 5, which is basically a... it is a bill that the county commissioner's removal of appointed board members. In essence, what this does is allows for the removal of appointed people on county boards. And if you will allow me, I will step through some of the bill and some talking points. Some of the background first, though, is the county commissioners have enumerated statutory powers to appoint Wyoming citizens to county boards and commissions. Statutes are clear in the process for county commissioners to appoint board members, yet several statutes are silent as to the removal and how to do this. Several statutes contain language outlining the basis for removal of local board members by county commissioners. These statutes are not affected by this bill. Statutes that have removal provisions have not been changed. Senate changes brought by the chairman of appropriations have tightened up the language and made it more concise, and they are considered a friendly amendments. Now what we'll do is we'll walk through the bill real briefly. If we go to page 1, section 1, you see in section 1 we reference four sections of existing Wyoming statute, WS 11-6-202. Secondly is WS 18-5-103. We're creating some new sections here. 103 is one that we create. 18-9-102 is another one we create. 18-9-201 is one we create. 18-10-103 is 103, and 102 are created. 35-1-302. By creating these, we are changing and allowing those county commissioners to effectively remove people that they deem that aren't fulfilling the task that's appointed to them. If you go to page two starts to outline the sections 11-6-202, administration of districts by district boards, number of qualifications, members, term, filling out vacancies and removal. I'm not going to go through all of these because if you get the first couple one, the methodology is the same that goes through the entire bill. But what is enumerated here is the positions that are affected. Subsection C here is for directors. If you move down the page, line 15, that's the County Planning Commission. And then it in line 17 and 18, it tells you how the vacancies will be filled by the existing county commissioners. And basically, we go over to page 3, line 2. We talk about Board of Trustees that come under the auspices of the county commissioners. We move down the page to Recreational Facilities and Systems of Public Recreation Authority Establishment to maintain joint action of political subdivisions and tax level removal. Same idea here in subsection C is it talks about a board of trustees and the proper way to remove that individual. Moving down to page line 20, 1810-103, Board of Trustees appointment, composition, qualifications of members, terms of office, vacancies, and removal. Again, this is a little bit different. Subsection A describes how each county commissioner of the county is going to operate constructing, acquiring a museum. This is for museum staff, and how the exhibits board is going to function. It tells you in here that the length of the terms, what they are, how they're staggered. Down below, subsection B is for the terms of removal relative to this. Let's skip down to line 19, which is 1811-102, powers management, rates, penalty for violations of the rules and removal. That has to do, subsection D there has to do with solid waste district and the board members contained therein and the removal of. And that continues on through page 5. Relative to that, we go to page 6. The removal provisions there, county commissioners may remove a member of the governing board for or without cause, etc., similar to the first paragraphs. And at that point, we come to the last portion of this, which is 35.1.302, organization of units, membership of boards and removal. The language contained therein in subparagraph E, the governing body which appointed the member of the board may remove that member of the board for cause, etc., consistent with the other removal processes. We go to section 2, line 19 on page 6, and that is the effective date. And at this time, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, which basically changes the effective date from July 1st to immediately upon completion of all acts necessary for the bill to become law as provided in Article 4, Section 8 of the Wyoming Constitution. And I call for the question on the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
The opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Byrd.
And that, in essence, is what it does. Basically, in a nutshell, what this does is allows the county commissioners to remove people from voluntary boards without pending litigation in most cases. So I urge the body's favorable vote at this point.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question on whether in the statute it defines what for cause means. And is for cause a well-accepted legal term, or is it specifically identified in this section of the statute where we're talking about that cause is defined? Or, in other words, could somebody get removed from an office for voting wrong?
Chairman Brown.
Here it goes. Mr. Chairman, for cause means that a person can't be arbitrarily removed, and it means that they have to be removed in the context of whatever their employment situation is. So if there's an employment contract, typically that's what it is. There's an express contract, a written contract, terms and conditions of your employment. And termination for cause would mean that some term and condition of that employment contract has been breached by the employee. Now, there could be an implied contract, which and many times the terms and conditions of an implied employment contract are defined by the personnel manual. And then so the personnel manual sort of becomes the contract, and it says, you know, you can't drink on the job, you can't smoke marijuana on the job, whatever it may be. And termination for cause would mean that there's some breach of one of those implied terms and conditions of the relationship between the employer and the employee. So I hope that helps and doesn't confuse.
Chairman Illaway.
Chairman,
I move committee of the whole amendment number 2 to Senate File 5 and ask for your approval. This was a word change by our wonderful staff attorneys, and it's found on page 2, line 16, to delete the term trustee and insert the term member.
Question being called in committee of the whole. Amendment number 2. All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The amendment is adopted. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as I look through this, what brought it to my mind, we've had some differences of opinion between the county commissioners and Fremont County and our landfill board on a couple issues. And the good chairman of judiciary got up and explained what cause is. What would that be? Disagreements with the county commissioners over an incinerator system versus not having an incinerator system be considered cause?
Representative Freeman.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have the same kinds of concerns. In our county, there has been many disagreements between boards and honest disagreements to where that it becomes a political tug-of-war of what is the best for the county and oftentimes what is legal and what isn't. I have trouble with the words whip cause. What does that mean? And if somebody can explain that to me better and where I feel better about that, I would appreciate it.
Madam Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm too struggling with that language, so I'm sure someone on the Corporations Committee or even my good colleague from House District 14, do most boards that the commissioners would be appointing someone, do they have a set of qualifications or standards by which cause, have they established that? If they haven't, would this require them to set some kind of criteria or qualifications that would allow them to remove someone with cause? Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I can address the for-cause question. That's actually in there for the person who's being removed. It's for their benefit. The idea is that if you have a reason to remove somebody from the board, you can go to them and say, we're going to remove you for the board for this reason. If that individual does not want to make that public, then he can just accept their decision and step down. If he wants to challenge that, he can call for the hearing, and then they have the hearing and have to prove that. But there's no need to have a public hearing to drag somebody through the mud and embarrass them if he wishes to just accept the decision and step down.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, let me see if I can do a better job here. With respect, I think a landfill board, a hospital board, some board like that is a good example, and many of those boards have members who are appointed by the county commissioner. So you got to ask yourself, what are they appointed to do? Well, there are certain statutory duties that they're appointed to fulfill, which varies from board to board to board, depending on what the organization is and depending on the function of the board. Well, then there would be two ways to terminate somebody, either at will or for cause. At will would be without a reason. And we have at will employment in Wyoming in some instances. Here we're saying it won't be, if there be a termination by the county commissioners, it won't be at will. And, you know, just to digress a little bit, at will is the one that always drives everybody crazy because it all goes back to a United States Supreme Court case where the Supreme Court said, well, you can terminate somebody for no reason, but you can't terminate them for the wrong reason. So you get into this conundrum in an at-will termination where you terminate somebody, and typically you call them in and you don't give them a reason. You just say, this isn't working out. You're done. You're finished. And then, like there have been instances where city councils
terminated people, and the public just drives them nuts. They want to know the reason, and the council doesn't want to give the reason because you're at your peril if you give the reason, that it better be the right reason and a provable reason. And in fact, you could terminate somebody at will, then give them a reason, then end up in a lawsuit about whether the reason's a valid reason for termination or not. That's the whole at-will side of the deal. On the other side of the deal is for cause, which means they're being terminated either because they fail to fulfill some term and condition of their employment contract, or they fail to carry out some duty that they were appointed to execute. And that would be for cause. You're being terminated because you failed to do thus and thus and thus, which was either in your contract or it's part of your duties as a board member or whatever it may be. And so I think it's really good language. It's kind of difficult to deal with, but I think it's really good language. And when we say they're being terminated for cause, what we're saying is they're not going to be terminated arbitrarily. They're not going to be terminated without a reason. There's going to be a reason. It has to be articulated by the board in order to terminate them. And then, as the last speaker said, they're going to have a choice at that point. They can go without a public hearing, or they can say, you know, I'll just challenge you on that. I want to have a public hearing, and I want to have this whole thing aired out, and you put on your reasons, and I'll put on my defenses, and we can have a hearing officer make a decision. So I hope that helps.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me add a little bit more to the discussion. Here are some examples of some existing boards. The airport board, the statutory citation is 18.9.101. They do not have a removal provision for anybody from that board. The fair board, 18.9.101.102, they do not have a provision. Juvenile services board, 14.9.105, yes, they do have that. Joint powers applies there for governance. Museum board, which is 18.10.108, they do not have one. Hospital board, 18.8.104, yes, codified in 2011, just cause without public hearing, unless requested, as previously mentioned by one of the other speakers. Planning and Zoning Commission, 18.5.202, yes, removal, just cause, other than politics, religions, and after public hearing by commissioners, and there's a few others, so I think you'd get the idea from that.
Further discussion. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with recommendation of Senate File 5 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate File 5 is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With us today in this gallery over here to my right, we have the Wyoming WAMI class of 2011, along with several of the dignitaries from the University of Washington School of Medicine. Would you please stand when I call your name so that we can see where you're from? Jeff Banks, hometown Cody. Jacob Barnes, hometown Gillette. Stay standing, stay standing. Landon Blumel, hometown Lyman. Tanner Clark, hometown Cody. Stephen Flynn from Laramie, Matthew Foreigner from Cheyenne, Carly Grubb from Cheyenne, Chris Ideen from Casper, Lauren Johnson from Rollins, Nathaniel Kahn from Rock Springs, Matthew Caples from Casper, I hope I didn't say that too badly, Ashley Clone from Casper, Dean Lorimer from Casper, Stephanie Leiden from Casper, Madison Matthew from Green River, Maxwell Matson from Lander, D.P. Patel from Cheyenne, Griffin Sharp from Cheyenne, Mark Weffel from Laramie, Hope Wilson from Cheyenne, and with them is Suzanne Allen, Dr. Suzanne Allen, who is the Vice Dean of Regional Affairs from the University of Washington School of Medicine, and Ellen Cosgrove, also a Vice Dean of Academic Affairs at the University of Wyoming. Can we give them a Wyoming welcome, please?
And just in case none of you made the connection, Griffin Sharp is the son of Lily Sharp, who's back here in the back, and also my nephew.
Welcome to the People's House. We appreciate your work. Both of my birth boys were delivered by Whammy students, so I appreciate what you folks do. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please continue.
A group of us had an opportunity to have lunch with this bright young group of medical students, and I think we can be confident of our future health needs and the care that they will give us. They are just brilliant, and thank you for coming to the House, and keep up the good work.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Illaway.
While we're at a break, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Please.
Thank you. Just wanted to remind the body that tonight, out at the Holiday Inn, 5:30, is the annual legislative reception by the American Legislative Exchange Council. You're all welcome. Please come out and have some light hors d'oeuvres and beverages. Thank you.
Any further announcements? All right, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 6, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to county memorial hospital districts' staggered terms. This file was sent to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections and Political Subdivisions, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dan, signed, representing Illaway, Chairman.
Before the reading of the bill, what is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File 6 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, a Standing Committee Amendment changes two words. It deletes the word districts, because we are talking about county memorial hospitals and not county memorial districts. So that's a distinction in hospital and districts. So I call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
But question being called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good gentleman from the center of the state, District 35, will discuss the bill.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Mr. Chairman, may I add, it's great to see you up in the speaker's chair. The glare coming off your head is much more manageable from across the room than when you're directly in front of me. So,
coming glaringly obvious that I'm shining up the room.
Members of the House, I give you Senate File 6, a bill that is so simple, it is actually, the explanation will actually be shorter than my jab at my good friend in the chair. Right now, with County Memorial Hospital Boards, it has a new board start out with staggered terms, but the language in the current law does not clarify that each term thereafter shall be 5 years after they're reelected, so all this bill does is clean that language up and insert the term 5 years. I'll stand for any questions, or if there are none, I'll call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, to do so with a recommendation that Senate File 6 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate File 6 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for your consideration is Senate File 7. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to election district revisions. This file was sent to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dan.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File do pass. There are no amendments. I just want you all to see
all the fun that the Corporations Committee has had all year with these bills, plus the one that is being heard today over on the other end of the building called redistricting. So we had a wonderful summer. Mr. Chairman, this particular bill talks about election districts and provides for the establishment of election districts in May, and it also provides for the allocation of precinct committee men and committee women in years in which redistricting occurs. So you all can figure out that this was probably something brought to us by the county clerks, and you're absolutely correct. The main part of this particular piece of legislation is found on page 3, line 1. It's a new section C, and it starts off, in any general election year in which a new plan of legislative districts is required, the number of precinct committee men and committee women shall be one committee man and one committee woman for each 250 votes or major fraction thereof of voters registered in that political party at the time election districts are adopted by the county commissioners, provided that no precinct shall be entitled to less than one precinct committee man or precinct committee woman. And that is, and then we change April to May on line 16, page 3. And that is the bill.
Representative Payton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one thought for you to look at this. During the period of consideration in the committee, and incidentally I am on and for the bill, the figure of 250 jumped off your page at me, and I wondered if maybe with the population growing and whatnot, maybe it might be convenient for the clerks to have something a little bit broader to work with than just one figure of 250, or perhaps it should be enlarged. During the discussion, we discovered it was last amended and placed there in, 1972? So in the future, we might take a look at trying to reinvigorate the political participation of our election process, particularly the primary process, and re-examine the role that we've given to the precinct committee men and committee women with 250 each. You have one of each, and they really it's tough to get to put the clerks in the position when you have a absent in one of the legislative districts that then causes the precinct committee men and committee women to give a recommendation. So just share that with you when you go home. I know that you're going to have this thing right in your mind, at the top of your mind, to talk to your clerks about, or your political party, that maybe this would be a way that we could address and provide some better activities, something a little more meaningful for the precinct committee men and committee women. With that, if there's less, well, there is something else, I'll urge your adoption.
Chairman McCombie.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I too rose to ask questions about this, and I understand the fact that there are many precincts within a legislative district. And some precincts, I would imagine, have more people, so therefore they would have, say, three committee people from one precinct, or some districts would only have one. But the research on the 250, did the clerks say where they came up? Did that even get discussed? Because sometimes it's hard to get enough people to run for this in the election, and they wind up, a lot of them, being appointed and hunted out and appointed by the party chairman.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was discussed in committee, and we did look up in the statutes. What we could research was that was put in about 1973. And quite frankly, nothing really did come up even in committee. So without without really working with the clerks, and we can certainly go back this summer, because I'm sure that we will have some election comments, election statutes to look at, as we always do. We can certainly discuss that. But as far as we know, it was about 1973 that figure came up. So, and let me, you also mentioned the good chairman from House District 54, and he talks about how the county is divided. And you'll notice on page 3, line 17, that in every general election year, the clerks of the county commission will divide the county into not more than 30 election districts. And each district should be designated by number and so forth. So I hope that answers any questions. I urge the adoption.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion, when the committee of the whole rise and report, they do so with the recommendation that Senate File 7 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate File 7 is passed committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee of the whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion passed.
The reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 22, recommended do pass. Senate File 23, recommended do pass. Senate File 4, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 32, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 39, recommended do pass. Senate File 45, recommended do pass. Representative Ludlow moves that the committee of the whole rise and sit again. Senate File 74, recommended do pass. Senate File 15, recommended do pass. Senate File 5, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 6, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 7, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Pedersen, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report is adopted. We're at that order of business. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, message 147. The bill is to blow past the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 2, appropriation for the legislature. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 148. Mr. Speaker, the bill is to blow past the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 18. Reimbursement for livestock, ayes 28, noes 2, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 149, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 24, property exempt from execution, ayes 30, noes 0, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 150, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 26, District Court Judge Increase, ayes 28, noes 2, signed, Arnold Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 151, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 36, State Parks Acquisition of LX Ball Ranch, Eyes 22, Nose 8, signed Don Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk, Message 152. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 38, Revisor's Bill, Eyes 30, Nose 0, signed Don Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk, Message 153. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 43, State Parks Acquisition of Lands, Eyes 30, Nose 0, signed Don Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk, Message 154. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 49, Terms for Youth Board of Agriculture Members, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Don Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 155. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 55, Purchase of Federal Lands, Eyes 29, No 1, signed Don Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 156, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 65, Applied Agricultural Research Funding Program, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 157, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 66, Medical Assistance Hospice Care, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 158, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 68, Time Limits for Veteran and Dependent Tuition and Fees, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 159, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 71, Aquatic Invasive Species, Eyes 29, Nose 1, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 160, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 75, Business Ready Community Program Planning, Eyes 29, Nose 1, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 161, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 78, Interstate Compact on Students of Military Families, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 162, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 79, Wildlife Trust Challenge Account Extension, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 163, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 81, Medicaid Fraud Recovery, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 164, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 82, ATM Fees, Eyes 25, Nose 5, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 165, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 83, Cigarette Manufacturing, Eyes 28, Nose 2, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 166, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 87, State Employee Compensation Commission Membership, Eyes 29, Nose 1, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 167, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 89, Pioneer Hunting Licenses, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 168, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 90, School Finance Amendments, Eyes 30, No 0, signed Donnie Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 169, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 91, Healthy Frontiers Continuation 2, Eyes 10, Nose 20, Signed, Diane Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 170. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicate. Senate File 94, Boches Court Ordered Placement Costs. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 171. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 99, Guardian Ad Litem Program. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 172. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 107, Public Works Contracts. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 173, Mr. Speaker. The bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate Joint Resolution 2, Riverton Uranium Tail Mill Tailings Remedial Action. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 174, Mr. Speaker. Failing reconsideration, the bills as below fail to pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 28, Governmental Claims Liability Limits. Ayes 15, noes 15. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 175. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 48, Professional Engineers and Surveyors Practice Act. Ayes 25, noes 5. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 176. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 59, Public Employee Retirement Plans Benefit Increases. Ayes 23, noes 7. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 177. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 77, Expenditure of Public Funds and Government Competition. Ayes 24, no 6. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 178. Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 95, Emergency Medical Services Special District. Ayes 17, noes 13. Signed, Donna Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Re-referrals. My apologies, Chairman Simlek. We're going to read in standing committee reports first.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 25 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbuda, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Throne. No, Peasley. Signed, Representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 8. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Eklund, Hunt. Excused, Davison. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 47 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanitzer, Dan. Excused, Davison. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask for re-referral of Senate File 47, Omnis Water Belt Construction, to Committee Number 2 as it has an appropriation.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate File 47 to Committee Number 2 appropriation. Seeing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business, reading an introduction of Senate files. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 99.
Senate File 99, introduced by Representative Nicholas.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Children Guardian Ad Litem Program.
Senate File 99 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by the Management Council.
first reading of the bill.
An act relating to an appropriation for the legislature.
Senate File 2 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, introduced by the Judiciary.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to district courts, district court judge increase.
Senate File 26 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Johnson.
First reading of the Senate.
An act relating to education, interstate compact on students of military families.
And Senate File 78 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 49.
Senate File 49, introduced by Senator Emmerich.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to term for Youth Board of Agriculture.
And Senate File 49 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55, introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state trust lands.
Senate File 55 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to State Parks acquisition of the LX Bell Ranch.
And Senate File 36 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 79.
Senate File 79, introduced by Senator Hicks.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Wildlife Trust Challenge Account Extension.
Senate File 79 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File 77, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading the bill.
An act relating to administration of the government, expenditure of public funds, and government competition.
Senate File 77 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 82.
Senate File 82, introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to ATM fees.
Senate File 82 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 83.
Senate File 83, introduced by Senator Cove.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to regulation and taxation of tobacco, cigarette manufacturing.
Senate File 83 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, introduced by Senator Dockstader.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to special districts, emergency medical services, special districts.
Senate File 95 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by Senator Landon.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to veterans' educational benefits, dependent tuition, and fees.
And Senate File 68 would be referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Committee announcements. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and privilege of the floor. On my left, your right, is Norm Long from Casper. He's a manager for Source Gas and a good representative of their company. If he'd stand, we can give him a round of applause. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals Business and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:45, and we have 4 bills now, and this is a revised schedule. Senate File 86, Greenhouse Gas Air Quality Regulation. Senate File 84, County Commission Special Expertise. Senate File 14, Nuclear Hybrid Energy System Related Projects. And Senate File 12, Nuclear Energy Task Force.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Wednesday upon adjournment in H-10 for consideration of the following bills. Senate File 52, Dyslexia Screening. Senate File 78, Interstate Compact on Military Families. Senate File 57, Engrossed Education Accountability. And Senate File 90, School Finance Amendments.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee 2, Appropriations, will meet Wednesday, February 29th at 9 a.m. to hear re-referred bill, Senate File 47, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, and tentatively scheduled for Wednesday afternoon is Senate File 42, Large Project Funding.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet tonight, 15 minutes after adjournment, and we will hear Senate File 10, Youth Challenge Program, sunset date.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 302 to consider the following bills, Senate File 41, Wolf Management, and Senate File 42, Large Project Funding.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet tomorrow morning, Wednesday, February 29, at 8 o'clock a.m. to consider two bills, Senate File 29, Spice Definition Amended, Senate File 46, Liens, Fuel Consumed in a Project.
Representatives Blake and Barbuto. Oh, wait. I didn't see you behind the chairman. Sorry. Go ahead, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet tomorrow afternoon, 10 minutes upon adjournment. Please note, new room, 302, to consider the following bills. Senate File 34, Engrossed Medicaid Option Study, and Senate File 58, Engrossed Health Insurance Exchange Study.
Okay, now, wait, Chairman McComey again. Hold on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, revise my announcement and also include travel will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock in 302, and where we will, if it's time permitting, we will hear Senate File 79 and Senate File 36.
Representative Patton.
Personal privilege.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Personal privilege.
Please proceed.
I want everybody to know and understand that tonight is the last home game of the Cowboys, so before we sing the Cowboys song, we're playing TCU. Should be a good game. So, Cowboy Joe.
And with that introduction, I'd call on Representative Blake, accompanied by Representative Barbuto.
Tonight is senior night. Here we go. Let's whip the horn frogs. He always sings raggy music to the cattle as he swings back and forth in his saddle on a horse. Gotta syncopate a gator, and you ought to hear the meter, the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear him a-comin', cause the western folks all know he's a highfalutin' rootin' toot, son of a gun from old Wyoming. Ragtime cowboy, talk about your cowboy, ragtime cowboy Joe. He always sings raggy music to the cattle as he swings back and forth in his saddle on a horse, pretty good horse, got a syncopated gator. Ought to hear the meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run, yes, run, when they hear him come, cause the western folks all know he's a highfalutin', rootin', tootin', son of a gun from old Wyoming. Ragtime cowboy, talk about your cowboy, ragtime cowboy Joe!
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just some statistics. As you will proudly note, we've been very judicious about our bills. 50% of the bills that were numbered for introduction in the House of Representatives have made it through. 50% have met a demise for this session. Currently, there are 9 bills out of committee and being waited to be debated on general floor. There's 1 bill on third reading. We'll have 12 bills on second reading. And there are 20 bills in the committees as we speak right now. Some deadlines of note. Friday is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee. Monday is the last day of committee of the whole. I'm hoping to work, with your permission, a little bit long on Thursday so that we don't have to work quite so long on Friday. But since we don't have a big heavy load tomorrow, I move that that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 29th, 2012.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House will stand adjourned until February 29, 2012, 10 a.m.